This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout out to my man, Jake Gaydon, CBS 13, a.k.a. the Rick Rude of Sacramento Media. What's good? Do you get that reference?
No, I have no idea. I'm waiting for that.
I'll tell you off the air.
How are we doing, my guy?
I'm good, my man. How you doing, man? I see you got that Sun Devils hoodie on today, man. Your boys is making a push to take on my boys, the Colorado Buffaloes. You know, those are my boys right now. I'm a Michigan fan. Those are my people. But, you know, I'm rocking with Coach Prime right now. So, hey, Jake, it might be Colorado-Arizona State in the Big 12 championship game.
It is a big weekend, my friend, in Tempe. It's the biggest weekend they've had at Arizona State in almost a decade. That was when I was there, of course. Okay. They had that it's an afternoon game against BYU, top 25 matchup. Last time they had a top 25 matchup in Tempe, I was a sophomore in college against Notre Dame. So this is going to be a big one. Big one in Arizona State.
That's some good stuff right there. I like that. Shout out to my man, Jake, man, because I called Jake this morning. You know, I was like, yo, Jake, can you pull up on us? He said, no problem. I see my man is stuck in the rain. He's just, you know, the hair's wet. Right. Everything's going on, man. But he still tapped in with us, man. I appreciate you, Jake.
Bro, I'm it's drenched, but I'm ready for it. It's great football weather, okay? It's perfect football weather for the night.
It absolutely is. And I gotta talk to you too, man, you know, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the Kings and everything. Busy weekend for you. Causeway Classic, 70th Causeway Classic. UC Davis took a loss last week against, I think it was Montana State. But that was a great matchup. UC Davis having a great year. Sac State looking to play the role of spoiler in some respect. On Saturday, Causeway, even with all the rain, it's still gonna go crazy, man. I know you guys got a lot of things lined up for the Causeway Classic. What you got going on?
It's just an exciting year for the Causeway Classic. One team's playing for pride, like you said, in Sac State, that just had an injury-ridden season. Like, you know, I think Andy Thompson's one of the best coaches in the Big Sky Conference. But when you don't have the talent that you recruited around you because they're injured or not available, then you sit there and you say to yourself, okay, you can only do with so much with what you have. So Sac State had a struggling season, but UC Davis has really turned things around with Tim Plow. I love what he's doing over there. A win for them would not only give him probably home field advantage in the first round, but also the second round. So I'm really hoping for a win for them to get a top four seed. What many people aren't talking about, though, what I love about this is the connection that Andy and Tim have with each other. So they both coached with each other at NAU, Northern Arizona, from 2013 to 2016. Andy Thompson was the defensive coordinator there, and Tim worked his way up through the ranks. If I'm correct, he started as a tight ends coach, ended up as an offensive coordinator. And I asked the two, like, what does this game mean to you? It's like, you know, it's kind of cool. It's a full circle moment. We've been in the trenches of being an assistant coach for all these years, and now we're head coaches of two programs that we're really proud of. And, you know, they call themselves brothers brothers in arms in terms of, like, being brothers in the coaching ranks. But Tim Plow put it perfectly. I'll root for Andy Thompson aside from 1 week out of the year, and that's for the Causeway Classic and the 70th annual one.
Yeah, man. And then I don't know if you guys are doing anything with this, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get out there. But they got it. They got a boxing card with the Causeway Classic tonight, man. I think it's Memorial Auditorium. I want to get to that. I don't think I'm going to be able to. I think I got to do some things with the family. But that's dope, man. Another thing put together by my man, Dr. Luke Wood, man. He's doing a great job over there at Sac State, man, putting together. And obviously, UC Davis is participating as well. But I know that's a passion of Dr. Woods is boxing. So putting that together, a Causeway Classic in the boxing ring, on the, making it a whole weekend thing, I think is pretty dope.
I agree, buddy. I think that with Uriah Faber in town and the ability to box, and it's such a big prevalent sport here in the Capital Region, I think it just kind of fits perfectly in the niche of what the Causeway Classic is and what Sac State's trying to do, which is be innovative in every single facet of their university.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jake Gayton, CBS 13, kind enough to join us here. And Jake, I've been asking a lot of people that we talk to all week this kind of same question, but, you know, it hits a little different for you. Because, or when I ask you the question, because you're not from here. You are a guy from, you know, from the East Coast, was in Arizona State, and now you're here in Sacramento. You got some roots here. What did you think of De'Aaron Fox before you got here? And is he a better player than you even realized before you start to see him on a nightly basis?
Yes. Yes and yes. So my memories of De'Aaron Fox is with that Kentucky team with Bam and Malik and Calipari. Like, I remember them distinctly. And when he came to Sacramento, I remember the hype and the buzz, but it was more about Boogie Cousins and him leading that team. To watch what De'Aaron's done over the past 3 years that I've covered him is just kind of been remarkable. Like, when I first came in, like, they didn't necessarily have a guy, right? Like, they had Fox. They just traded for Sabonis. You know, there's a lot of question marks heading into the season of what this team was going to look like. And then Fox took a step forward, and Sabonis took a step forward, and they had that dream season where they snapped the playoff drought. Mm-hmm. Last year, took a step back, I feel like Fox did, in terms of, like, he worked on his three-point game, but I think he got away from his bread and butter, which was attacking the paint and what he was so good at for a number of years in the NBA, his speed and being able to go, you know, 90 feet from one end of the court to the other. And I feel like he lost that a little bit. Of course, he also had a couple injuries last year that kept him out. This year, I feel like he's putting it all together. Mm-hmm. I think he's not only at an all-star pace, I think he's at an all-NBA pace. The guy's doing it all. He's playing extremely great defense. He is rebounding the ball. He's assisted with plenty of assists when it comes to DeMar, when it comes to Keegan, and it comes to Domas. But then the way he's able to score right now, Kenny, I don't know if anybody can guard him. Mm. He can get to the paint. He can get to his spot. He loves that elbow jumper. But then he can also pull up and have a pull-up three, no problem. Yeah. The evolution of his game continues to get better. So to answer your question, no, I did not think De'Aaron was going to be that good and get to this point. But the fact that he's here now and he still has room to grow and he's only 27 years old, like, he's hitting his prime. Yeah. And his prime can even get better. And I'm just excited to see how he continues to do it night in and night out. And I think he continuously points this out. It's consistency with him. Yeah. If he can be consistent the way he plays and drop 20 to 30 points a night, this guy's going to be all NBA. Easy.
I agree 100%. And, you know, I have a thought process when we talk about someone's prime, right? Like, I look at what is someone's prime. And to me, it's a situation where when you're young, you know, you got to, you know, your talent is way up here, right? And your basketball IQ isn't there, right? And as the years go on, they start to do this. And when you get to the prime, they meet up with each other. You know what I mean? Where your physical gifts are 100% in line with your intellect and your understanding of the game. And then as you get older, it gets, you know, the pendulum switch. Like, your IQ is there at a maximum, but your physical isn't what it used to be. And I think De'Aaron Fox is entering that moment where his approach to the game, his understanding of the game, is matching up with all the physical things that he can do. And I'm with you, you know, 25, 26 years old. You know, we've got 3-4 years of supreme basketball from De'Aaron Fox with the mindset linked up with the physical abilities. And I think that's what we're seeing here at the beginning of the season.
The only thing that he's missing, Kenny, is a playoff pedigree. I understand that he did great in that 2 years ago in that game, the 7-game series with the Warriors, but he needs a playoff series win I feel like, to really cement himself as a superstar in the league. Yeah. And if you can get some playoff wins, which I think they can do this year, like we've talked about it before, Kenny, I see this could be a Western Conference Finals team if everything comes together at the right time in the right place. Mm. If you can win two playoff series upcoming into the summer, mm-hmm. man, this guy can cement himself as a superstar in the league.
100%, man, 100%. What do you think about this team in general? You know, I know they, going into the Phoenix Suns game, it was six of the next seven games were going to be at home. I came into that saying I needed them to go 5-1. I'll take 4-2, but I really want to see them establish themselves at the Golden 1 Center. I didn't know they were going to lose three of their best players in that time. So things change a little bit. They still have an opportunity to go 4-2 in those six games. But I thought we might get a clear understanding of what this team might be, you know, with that stretch of games. But injuries kind of, you know, or I'll ask you, I'm not even going to speak for you. Did the injuries kind of put a pause on your overall expectations of what you think this team could be?
Yeah, I think the injuries have set back how quickly this thing can come together. Mm-hmm. I still see the trajectory. Like, I still see the season going up. Like, the arrow is still pointed upwards. They have not hit a plateau or anything like that. I even see this team getting better and coming together more the more that they play together. But you see the blueprint. Like, the mm-hmm. blueprint is beautiful. And when it's working to perfection, like we saw it in that Suns game a couple weeks ago and even before that, it all comes together. I love the fact that they have DeMar and De'Aaron that can close the game out when it comes down to crunch time. I love DeMar's presence when they're on that, like, when they're, there's the other team's going on a 10-2 run, Kenny, right? And yeah. DeMar says, hey, let's go get an easy bucket. Like, and he goes to the free throw line, hits two free throws, and it's a 6-point game. And you look at it and you're like, wow, that stopped the momentum, and then it swings in the Kings' favor. Love that element that he brings. I love what Domantas Sabonis has been doing. He's playing at an all-NBA and all-star level right now to start the season, but people are really starting to notice once again. His injuries, though, it's like Mark Jones puts it perfectly on the broadcast each night, Kenny. Until Domantas Sabonis gets hit in the face, the game really hasn't started. So, like, you know, I love that line. It's the truth because it really hasn't. But to answer your question, it's coming together. We were hoping that it would come together this week. I think you got another week. I think by the beginning of December, you're really going to see Kings basketball start taking off and being able to have a solidified rotation as well as solidified roles. I think we know with Mike Brown and his teams, he's searching for who his guys are to start the season. And I think now he's kind of realized who he's got in his 1-9 lineup. I think the intriguing part is what you're going to look at is when Devin Carter comes into the fold in January and February. And what does that mean for the trade deadline for the Kings? People keep on asking me, like, hey, do they have enough length? I'm like, I don't know if they have enough length, but they have enough shooting though. So like, I don't know if that will subsequent one for the other. A lot of question marks still are going to be answered in the next week or so, but it really starts tonight with the Clippers, a big NBA Cup game tonight. Yes. And I think the bigger game, can I be real with you, Kenny? It's Monday against OKC. Mm. Like, that's a measuring stick team, right? Like, it's like the Timberwolves, like, measuring stick team. I know they don't have their I'm blanking the center's name. Oh my god.
Chet Holmgren.
Yeah. They don't have him right now cuz he's injured, but to go up against SGA and to see how good they're going to be against an MVP front runner, that will be a measuring stick game to kind of see where they're at heading into the month of December.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You're listening to ESPN 1320 KIFM West Sacramento. In Odyssey Station and D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. It's your man KC with you right now. D'Lo is en route to the station. He'll be here soon. In the meantime, I'm talking to my
man. Does D'Lo not want to talk about my UConn Huskies? Is that why?
Because
like Gino got honored yesterday or 2 days ago. So was there something wrong with that?
So I can neither confirm nor deny that he may or may not want to talk about the UConn Huskies. I don't know. That's not for me to talk about. But Jake, we did show Gino a lot of love yesterday.
Good.
We did show him a lot of, both of us, Dame as well, showed him a lot of love. We're breaking that record for sure, man. I want to ask you a question because you brought up an interesting name, Devin Carter. And one of the things that's been going on this week is us as Kings fans, especially since the Kings are not playing and there's no wins to be excited about or anything this week, we got to see Dalton Kennett go for 37 the other night. And that was very, very frustrating for a lot of Kings fans, myself included, because I wanted Dalton Connect. I wanted either a trade for Kuzma, draft Dalton Connect, or bring the Sacramento kid, Jared McCain, back home. And they did none of that. They went with Devin Carter. Devin Carter is out for the majority of the season. And you know, it had people a little frustrated the other day that, you know, we see these other guys playing well and helping in their teams, and Devin Carter isn't available. And then twofold, even when he is available, where is he going to play? Where are the minutes coming from? So kind of your thoughts on what's been going on this week about, you know, people kind of question if Monty missed that draft pick.
No, Monty didn't miss the draft pick because Devin Carter is going to be an instant impact type of guy on this team. I had the chance of watching Devin Carter because I watched a lot of UConn games. Mm-hmm. I love Big East basketball. Mm-hmm. There's college basketball I love watching. It's the Big East. It's nitty-gritty. It's hard-nosed type of basketball. It prepares you, I think, personally. If you ask me, that league prepares you the best for any translation into the NBA out of anyone, out of SEC, Big 12, Big 10, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. So being able to watch Devin Carter and to see how crafty he is, everyone's going to talk about his offensive output and his three-point shot and what he did at Providence in terms of leading that team to an NCAA tournament and a Big East tournament win. But what I like...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think about Devin Carter the most is his defense, specifically as such a young guy. The other thing that people keep on forgetting is he's a older guy. He's 22 years old. This is not a project. This is a guy that's going to be instant impact when he comes back and when he plays. What people aren't talking about is this. Like, yes, there's no minutes for him right now, but I don't know if the roster is going to be the same when he comes back. Like, I think that they may trade a guard, Kevin Huerter, throwing a name out there, or you know, I wouldn't say Keon Ellis because the contract's so good. Mm-hmm. But Kevin Herter's a guy that you could possibly dangle and see if you could get a longer wing for him. And then you insert Devin Carter's minutes into that and you sprinkle that around a little bit. I think Jordan McLaughlin will probably get his minutes taken away when Carter comes back, just to see what Devin can do. But this guy, like I said again, instant impact. And maybe he doesn't have a massive impact this year, but this guy will have an impact moving forward. He'll be under a good contract with that, was it, 15th overall pick that they had this past year.
Yeah.
He will be an impact guy. They did not miss on, you know, Dalton Connect would have been an instant impact as well, but I don't think they missed on Devin Carter as Kings fans have been talking about over the past couple of days.
I hear you. One of the things, though, that you talk about Kevin Huerter, I like the way he's played this year. Like, I think he's added a lot. I kind of took for granted his ability to make that offense work with his just the threat of his shooting ability, let alone when he starts hitting the shots like he has been. A lot of people have thrown, you know, Kevin Huerter as an option to be traded at the deadline, and I don't know if I want to move on from from Kevin Huerter.
I love Kevin, and I think people aren't talking about, you know, name another guard that can rebound as well as he has. Mm. Name another guard that's in the lanes as much as the amount of deflections he's getting a game. Like, aside from, like, De'Aaron Fox, I would say. Like, Kevin has stepped up his game in every way that Mike Brown has told him to, and he's still hitting his shots, and he's not in his head this year. He's in a great headspace. Like, that's – I'm with you, Ken. Like, I don't Why move a guy if he's working within this offense? But then you ask, okay, where's Devin Carter's minutes coming from? And I could not tell you.
Interesting. I want to shift gears just a little bit here because I got Jay Gaydon with me. You know, we talk Kings, but he could talk anything. That's what he does, man. That's why he's one of them dudes out here. The San Francisco 49ers, they've got a game on Sunday in Green Bay. And I said this past Monday, after their loss last week to the Seahawks, I said, it's over for my guys, man. It's over, man. This just ain't the year, whether it's the injuries, whether it's just not really being playing disciplined football on a consistent basis. Super Bowl hangover. I think it's a little bit more than a Super Bowl hangover. I think it's a five-year run hangover that is just maybe come to an end for this group of 49ers. I know math-wise, and if you look at the standings, they're not out of it. But I don't know if this team has what it takes to go on one of those second-half runs that we've seen in the past. What's your thoughts on the Niners, man?
I'm with you, buddy. People are asking me, should we prepare for a Super Bowl run for the 49ers? And I'm like, guys, you know, they got some hard game. Let's go into Lambeau this week and winning Green Bay. And I think it's supposed to snow this weekend in Lambeau. Like, yeah. And you might not have your starting quarterback. Brandon Allen might be the starter. I don't know if there's any update from Shanny on that yet.
Purdy, so far, like in the last 15 minutes or so, there's no sign of Purdy at practice right now.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. Mm-hmm. That's not good. I would sound the alarm a little bit. Do you have an alarm for me?
Where's my? I don't have an alarm, but I got air horns.
Air horns.
Well, we do
it's
air horns.
Not good.
Yeah, we do air horns in celebration. I don't know if I want to play air horns right now. There's nothing to celebrate right here. Let's see. Let's this one right here.
I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry.
There we go. Yeah, I'm about to cry.
Yeah. We're about to cry. They have to play Green Bay. They have to play Buffalo, if I'm right on this. They still have divisional games against the Rams and the Cardinals, if I'm correct. Like, if this team makes the playoffs, it's going to be a divisional round game, and it's because they won the division somehow or another. But, like, I don't think they're going to be able to go anywhere and win. Like, I can't see them going into Philadelphia and winning right now. Maybe, possibly, but that's a hard ask. And I definitely don't see them going into Detroit and winning. Like, there's no shot whatsoever. And what Detroit has on them from last year and them remembering how they had that second half debacle against them. Like, I could see, like, the Lions just rolling over on these guys. So when you look at the 49ers, like, if I were them, like, bro, like, be okay with not making the playoffs. Like, straight up, fam. Like, get the better draft pick, okay? And see if that could help you a little bit. And then kind of go from there. Because, like, playoff-wise, like you said, Kenny, it's not looking good. They're not healthy. Nick Bosa's not healthy. You know, Ayuk gone for the year. Purdy's not healthy. Christian McCaffrey still hasn't looked like himself. Like, you are active. I'm literally saying this. You have to, and you can quote me for it, okay? There's going to be literally an active God if they make the playoffs. An active freaking God if that's happening.
I completely understand. But see, so one of the things about it, though, and I think you understand this, and I'm not saying that, you know, they've had the same type of success, but you saw the New England Patriots. You saw them for 20 years be successful how they were. Jake, you know, they weren't a Super Bowl team all 20 years. There were years where they were a little down. I don't know how many times in a row they made the playoffs, but, you know, there were years that were better than others. Some years they were bona fide top three team in the league. Sometimes it's like, they got the reputation, but talent-wise, maybe they're an 8, 9, 10 team, and they'll figure it out. You're not always going to have the best team, but what they were able to do year after year were they were able to reload. You know, they were able to go from Welker to they turned Edelman into Welker. You know what I mean? They got new characters along the way. And I think that might be where the 49ers are, right? Like, this might be one of those years where, all right, you know, Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, that time maybe has run its course. We need to go find the next iteration of this San Francisco run that we have here. And that's nobody likes that, but that's kind of all there is. That's might be what it is.
So this I love that comparison because I do compare the 49ers currently right now to what the Patriots were when they had the Tom Brady years. The reason why the Patriots made the playoffs every year is because the AFC East was a joke. You had Mark Sanchez, you had Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you had whatever quarterback the Dolphins decided to throw out there before Tua. So, you know, again, The AFC East was so easy for them to roll through every single year, especially with Belichick and the way he's gone about things. What I don't like about the 49ers right now is 49er fans are crying that they're not going to make a long Super Bowl run. Like, guys, you know how hard that is on a consistent basis? To be consistently good every single year and have the right pieces and everything like that? Like, you have a quarterback. Be happy about that.
Yeah.
You have a star wide receiver in Ayuk and Debo, and even tight end in George Kittle. Love that. You have the best left tackle in the league. Love that. And a defense that's pretty good. I think they still need to figure out a defensive coordinator. I'm not really – I still think that's the biggest bugaboo of what Kyle Shanahan's dealing with right now, is getting the right defensive coordinator in there who's calling the right plays, because I still think you have Fred Warner, who's one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacker in the league, and then Nick Bosa as well, best defensive end in the league. You're not going to win every year. It takes a perfect formula to get back to the Super Bowl and get back to the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. You got to be injury-free. You've got to play really good games and be able to play tight games and win in tight games, which they've proven they have not been able to do. Mm-hmm. Injury bug has hurt them as well. But then they have to play well in situational football. And I feel like situationally, they've been really, really bad this year. Like, really bad.
They've lacked
and
focus.
Like, and it's just a lack of focus. And people can say, oh, that stems from a bad special teams. But, like, I can point out different areas in the offensive defense where it's just not like, okay, like, for example, the Geno Smith touchdown this past week. Like, you can be upset by the offense that they didn't drive down the field and run out the clock. But, like, the final four plays of that drive where Geno was able to scramble, you're playing a soft cover three. Like, what's the play call there? Right? Like, well, like, that's not situational football. Throw some heat on the dude, okay? Like, look what Nick Bosa was doing the whole entire game. Show him a blitz. See if they can win outside with DK or with Lockett and go from there. That's where my frustration is. I don't think they're playing good situational football, and that is where they're losing these tight ones and these tight games, and why I don't think they're going to make it far this year.
I agree with you, man. Time to refocus, reload a little bit, maybe this offseason, man. So, Jake, my guy, appreciate you, man. I'm going to see you on Sunday. Yeah, Sports Sunday. We got it locked in, confirmed. Finally, Jake doesn't have to curse me out because I can't make it. I will be there this Sunday.
Kenny, I appreciate you, buddy, more than you know. I family over everything. And you are one of the biggest hustlers out of anybody I know in this area. So we appreciate you anytime you come on. We're excited to rock with you live on Sunday night on Sports Sunday. We'll have recaps of everything from section championship games to the Kings game that's on Sunday night until hopefully a 49ers win as well.
Absolutely, man. Jake, I appreciate you making time for us, big dog.
Hey, tell Damian I'm mad at him.
Oh.
Okay? He didn't want to talk about my Huskies with me today.
I don't know. Maybe John in Connecticut might call later and talk about the Huskies. I don't know.
John in Connecticut can always call. He can always call. Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate you, Jake, man.